Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo 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 Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Jihwa
Jihwa
Na
Na
Bhakti
Bhakti
Bhagavad
Bhagavad
Guna
Guna
Namadheyam
Namadheyam
Chetash
Chetash
Cha
Cha
Na
Na
Smarati
Smarati
Tach
Tach
Sharanaravindam
Sharanaravindam
Krishnaya
Krishnaya
No
No
Namati
Namati
Yashchira
Yashchira
Ekadapi
Ekadapi
Tan
Tan
Anayadvam
Anayadvam
Asato
Asato
Krita
Krita
Vishnu
Vishyam
Vishnu Krityan
Vishnu Krityan
Jihva Navakti Bhagavad Guna Namadheyam.
Jihva Navakti Bhagavad Guna Namadheyam.
Chetascha Nasmarati Tascharanaravindam.
Chetascha Nasmarati Tascharanaravindam.
Krishnaya no namati tachchira ekadapi.
Krishnaya no namati tachchira ekadapi.
Tan anayadvam asato krita vishnu ki krityan.
Tan anayadvam asato
Jihva Navakti Bhagavad Guna Namadeyam.
Jihva Navakti Bhagavad Guna Namadeyam.
Chetascha Nasmarati Tascharanaravindam.
Chetascha Nasmarati Tascharanaravindam.
Vishnaya No Namati Tascirahe Kadapi.
Vishnaya No Namati Tascirahe Kadapi.
Tanhanayadvam asato krita vishnu krityam.
Tanhanayadvam asato krita vishnu krityam.
Jihva Navakti Bhagavad Guna Namadeyam.
Jihva Navakti Bhagavad Guna Namadeyam.
Chetascha Nasmarati Tascharanaravindam.
Chetascha Nasmarati Tascharanaravindam.
Krishnaya no namati tach yachchira ekadapi.
Krishnaya no namati yachchira ekadapi.
Tanhana yadvam asato krita vishnu krityam.
Tanhana yadvam asato krita vishnu krityam.
Jihva.
Jihva.
The tongue.
The tongue.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Vakti,
Vakti
chants,
chants
Bhagavat,
Bhagavat
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Guna,
Guna
transcendental quality.
Transcendental qualities.
Nama,
Nama
and the holy name.
And the holy name.
Jayam,
Jayam
imparting.
Imparting.
Cheta,
Cheta
the heart.
The heart.
Cha,
cha,
also,
also,
na,
na,
not,
not,
smarati,
smarati,
remembers,
remembers,
tat,
tat,
his,
his,
charana aravindam,
charana aravindam,
lotus feet,
lotus feet,
Krishnaya,
Krishnaya,
unto Krishna,
unto Krishna,
through his deity in the temple,
through his deity in the temple.
No,
no,
not,
not,
namati,
namati,
bows,
bows,
yat,
yat,
whose,
whose,
shira,
shira,
head,
head,
ekada,
ekada,
api,
api,
even once,
even once,
tan,
tan,
them,
them,
anyadita, anayadvam,
anayadvam,
bring before me,
bring before me,
asata,
asata,
the non-devotees,
non-devotees.
Akrita,
akrita,
not performing,
not performing,
Vishnu Krityan,
Vishnu Krityan,
duties towards Lord Vishnu,
duties towards Lord Vishnu.
Translation. My dear servants, Please bring to me only those sinful persons who do not use their tongues to chant the holy name and qualities of Krishna, whose hearts do not remember the lotus feet of Krishna even once, and whose heads do not bow down even once before Lord Krishna. Send me those who do not perform their duties towards Vishnu, which are the only duties in human life. Please bring to me all such fools and rascals. Purport. The word Vishnu Krityan is very important in this verse because the purpose of human life is to please Lord Vishnu. Varnashrama Dharma is also meant for that purpose. As stated in the Vishnu Purana 3.8.9, Varnashrama Charavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnur Aradhyate Panta Nanyat Tattoshakaranam. Human society is meant to follow strictly the Varnashram Dharma, which divides society into four social divisions, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and four spiritual divisions, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Varnashram Dharma easily brings one near to Lord Vishnu, who is the only true objective in human society. Unfortunately, however, people do not know that their self-interest is to return home back to Godhead or to approach Lord Vishnu. Durasyaya ye bahir arta manina. Instead, they are simply bewildered. Every human being is expected to perform duties meant for approaching Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Yamaraj advises the Yamadutas to bring to him those persons who have forgotten their duties towards Vishnu. Akrita Vishnu Krityan. One who does not chant the holy name of Vishnu, Krishna, who does not bow down before the deity of Vishnu, and who does not remember the lotus feet of Vishnu, is punishable by Yamaraj. In summary, all Avaishnavas, persons unconcerned with Lord Vishnu, are punishable by Yamaraj. So here, after describing who not to bring for so much time, then Yamaraj is now describing who should be brought. Those who do not follow the path chalked out for human advancement. So here, Prabhupada comments on this word Vishnu Krityan, that the performance of duties is the most essential element in the human society. That these performance of these duties bring one near to Krishna. And then Prabhupada points out that these duties are the system of Varnashrama. And that they very easily bring one near to the lotus feet of the Lord. But then he also points out that the essence of that is the glorification of the Lord. So by always chanting the Lord's holy name, bowing down before the Lord, remembering the Lord, that is the most essential out of all duties. The Varnashram then establishes one as human. But devotee means that one is doing these things and the process of sadhana bhakti for the pleasure of Krishna. So here he's not saying just those who are nicely following Varnashram, don't bring them. He's saying those who are not remembering the Lord, they don't follow Varnashram properly, they don't remember the Lord, they you should bring. And even if they're following Varnashram nicely, if they're not doing it for the purpose of pleasing the Lord, they also you can bring. So specifically, these two go together. When one is chanting, one is performing duties towards Krishna, then in the human form of life, then it's natural the Varnashram system is also very favorable for one to advance in spiritual life. These two go together. So this is being brought out here, that one should see in this way how the two go together. Just like if you want to perform an activity, then you use those tools which are best for that activity, assisting that activity. You want to cut a piece of wood, then a saw works very nicely. It makes very easily you can cut this wood. You could also use a knife. You could also use a chisel. You know, you could probably use a big, you know, iron bar and just beat it enough it would break. But it's difficult. But if we use the saw, it works very easily. So the for advancement in human form of life, then the essential principle is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Worshipping the Lord, bowing down before the Lord. Manmana bhavam pakto madhyaji maskuru. But with this is also that one performs those duties which are favorable for devotional service. Follows the path of varnashram, not for materialistic purposes, but for the purpose of pleasing the Lord. So the next verse is sarvadharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. So those duties that bring about one-pointed fixing the mind on the service to Krishna, those are accepted. And those things that we are doing simply for fulfilling our material desires, our lusty desires, those we give up. We see all through it. Before this, he is talking about those who are following the culture, but only for the purpose of fulfilling their lusty desires. He says you bring all these kind of people. Right? But those who are following these duties for pleasing Krishna, and especially that they have absorbed this self even more than once. He says if once they have chanted, once they have bowed down for the purpose of pleasing the Lord. Means, Prabhupada points out, if they are just making a show, they go, they bow down. But it's just a show. They're just showing, I'm such a great devotee. But there's no actual devotion to the Lord. It is just they know that this is the proper rules. You do it, people will be impressed. They will think you're somebody great. Then those persons also you can bring. But it's meaning those who are bowing down with the purpose of pleasing the Lord, chanting the holy name once just to please the Lord. So Ajamiya was such a person that previously he had the association of qualified devotees, advanced devotees. So he himself had actually taken up the process of devotional service. And he was situated as a first class brahmana, which means a devotee. But by not being careful, he allowed his material desires to get the best of him, and then he took up bad association, and so he gave that up. So he didn't qualify for the Yamadutas to take him, though he was very sinful. He was not even at the time properly following the Vedic culture. So then they would think, well, here is a first class candidate for going to hell. But then we see that he's pointed out, but he has before, he has chanted, he's bowed down, he followed the Vedic principles for the pleasure of the Lord, therefore that can't be counted. An ocean of sinful activities cannot overcome one sincere chanting or bowing down or doing an activity for the Lord, because that is eternal. While the sinful activities, then due to bad habit, then that is not very serious. Yamaraj makes that point. So in relationship to this, then today's the appearance day of Advaitacharya Prabhu, that he is the Supreme Personality of God in himself, Mahavishnu. And he is the one who has created this material world. And he is maintaining, he's destroying. All these things are going on by his activities. Whatever we see going on before us, it's all part of his yoga nidra. He is thinking all these things, they're all happening. The living entities are taking advantage of the facilities, exploiting them to their, you know, best ability. And all this is going on under his direction. So now being the whole controller of the whole material world, the manifester of the control of the material world, then we would find it interesting that why is it that he is feeling bewildered how to save the living entities? Because he is the one who is everything is manifesting from. But he is sitting and looking outside the door of his house, looking around at the other Brahminical community, so-called Brahminical community around him, a very expert in following all the Vedic rituals, doing everything very, very nicely. And other such persons who are following the Vedic culture very nicely. You know, all the rules they're doing very nicely. But he's bewildered how to save them. Because none of them have once chanted the holy name. Not once have bowed down before the Lord. Or not once have performed any of their ritualistic activities simply for the purpose of pleasing the Supreme Lord. So then he's thinking, how I will save them? Because he has made the promise that anyone who surrenders to him, he will help. Whoever surrenders to him, then he will help, he will take them out of the material world. But he looks around, and there's so many people, they are following very nicely his instructions, the Vishnu Kritiyan, but they are not performing it to please him. They're just performing it to fulfill their material lusty desires. They know if I behave very nicely in this way, then I will get so much benefit. That's all. They're not doing it actually because they have any affection for the Lord and they want to please the Lord by following His instructions. No, they just want to take the facilities that the Lord is offering, use them for themselves. So he's looking at all this and he is very bewildered what to do. So then, in his meditation, then he understands that the only one who can save them is Krishna. But even Krishna has said this, that he will only surrender, he will help those who surrender to him. So even Krishna, in his form as Krishna, will not do. Only when Krishna takes the mood of his devotee, then we can actually save these people. Because the Lord says, as you surrender to me, then he will reciprocate. So no surrender, no reciprocation. Very simple formula. Little surrender, then more, then reciprocation. More surrender, more reciprocation. Very, very simple. Because he doesn't want to disturb the independence of the living entity. But the devotees, they don't care for this principle. That's the Lord has said, that's he can say that and he will act like that. But the devotees, they go and they go to people who are not interested and ask them to chant. They go and ask them to chant. So because of this, then only can we get these people to take up the chanting of the holy name. And then the devotee cannot liberate the person. So even you've got them to take up, but still the Lord has to be pleased. So it's the Lord who can liberate, but he won't liberate unless you take a step towards him. And the devotee can go to you and try to get you to take up devotional service, but they cannot liberate you. So then, how this will function? So then, when we have Krishna, who has taken the mood of Srimati Radharani, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you have the perfect solution. Because here is the devotee, and here is Godhead. So this combination, then, can come and deliver all these souls. So that is why this is the when we think of Advaitacharya, one of the most important of his pastimes is that he worshipped Shaligram and was requesting Krishna to come in this form, because only then could everyone be free. Because he knew what is the actual dharma. He is given dharma. Right? Advaitacharya is given dharma. But he knows what is the actual dharma. It's to follow that for the pleasure of the Lord. So only Lord Chaitanya will bring this out. Then we see another aspect of understanding who is the true follower of Dharma. We see that another pastime, then Advaitacharya was performing a big, a very large ceremony, Shraddha. So in this, one of the essential points is the giving of the Bhojapatra. That this Bhojapatra is a very large plate that you put so many very nice things, cloth and grains and money and different auspicious items. And after doing Vishnu Archanam, or Vasudeva Archanam, then one is supposed to give that to a very highly qualified Brahmana. Because the idea in the Shraddha is people who are not qualified should not be invited to the program. Because the forefathers and the demigods who are in control of all this are not interested in people who are not qualified, who make a show of being qualified. Therefore, the scriptures give a huge list of who cannot be invited. Because so many little things, discrepancies are there, and you shouldn't invite them, because otherwise the forefathers will not accept the offering. Because they don't want to receive it from the hand of someone who's unqualified. But the description of who's qualified is very simple. Generally, one verse will describe that. Someone who is learned in the Veda, who follows the Veda, understands the purpose of the Veda, and is very pure and clean in their habits. In other words, a devotee of the Lord. But who should not do it, then so many different rules, this relative or other different persons or someone who doesn't practice what they know or so many discrepancies like that. So then, in this assembly, then were so many qualified brahmanas who fit very nicely the description given in the shastras. They knew the shastras very well. Each one of them thought, I know better than the other. I know this branch very nicely, or I know this aspect, or I know the hidden meanings behind this thing, or I practice so nicely, or I do the yajnas, or I chant very nicely. Each one is thinking, I'm the best, I'm the most special. So naturally, the Bhojapatra will be given to me, like that. But, I'm humble, so I just sit here and wait for it. I won't just stand up and walk forward and accept it. I'll wait until he recognizes me. It would be good form, good example for others. So then, they're all waiting. And then, Advaitacharya, he sees everybody there, contemplates very deeply who should receive the Bhojapatra. And then he takes this plate and with great respect walks over to Haridas Thakur and hands him the plate. And then all the other Brahmins are shocked. Because here's somebody, Muhammadan family, just dressed in some rags. All he does is sit around and chant all day and disturb the whole village, all day, all night. And this madman is getting the Bhojapatra. So then they're thinking, what is going on here? Why? So then it is explained that one who follows the Vedic culture, that is good. Means out of so many living entities, very few are human. And of those who are human, very few follow the Vedic culture. So those who follow the Vedic culture, they are human. But now, those who follow the Vedic culture and actually follow it to please the Lord, that is very, very rare. That is very rare. So Haridas Thakur is one such person. Right? Already on the platform of liberation. He's already beyond the desires of all these fruitive activities. So by his performance of the chanting of the holy name, then this is the best. And even the scriptures will uphold this. Even one will argue. He's only chanting. But the Dharma Shastras explain that one who chants the Lord's holy name, he gets the benefit of reciting all the Veda. And he actually has all knowledge. He is the best. But it's only described, I've seen, in two verses. Manasamhita will bring this point out twice. Those who understand, they accept it, immediately understand. This is the real, the Parodharma. And others, they will notice this, yes, very nice, very pious to chant our japa and all that. But, you know, what about all these shraddhas and all the different ceremonies and all this? And they'll absorb themselves there. But here, Advaitacharya was pointing out that even following the Vedic culture, then the best is one who is the devotee, one who's always absorbed in the holy name. Then we see another pastime of himself in connection with, means there's, we also must understand his position. Krishna expands as, Krishna is the, how do you say, the self-satisfied Supreme Lord, one without a second. He is the object of everyone's affection. So he is the supreme enjoyer. But he expands because so many things must be done. Right? And only he can do them. So he expands as Baladeva, his brother. And Prabhupada points out the only difference between the two of them is Krishna's black and Baladeva's white. In other words, whatever Krishna can do, Balaram can do. But there is a difference. A major difference is there. They are the same in activity, in qualities, in potency, everything. But there's a major difference has taken place by this expansion. And that is that Balaram, besides having the mood of the Lord, the enjoyer, the supreme, he also now has the mood of the servant. So even though he is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the servitor Godhead. He is servitor Godhead. So he expands, all his expansions and his energies are all for serving the pleasure of Krishna. So the dham, all the different activities, yoga maya, all this is expanding from Baladeva. So all the facilities, the paraphernalia that is there in Krishna's pastime is all coming from Baladeva in his mood of service. So then from Baladeva then expands Mahanarayan in Dwarka, Dwarka Mathura. And there he performs all his nice pastimes. So because Baladeva has both these moods, when he expands as Mahanarayan, then the side that is the aspect of the Lord, that is Vasudeva. And that aspect that is of servant, that is Balaram. And then serving these two, then Prajumna Aniruddha. And then expanding into Vaikuntha, then you have Vishnu and Ananta. So this aspect is always there. Both Supreme Lord, but one is in the mood of the enjoyer, and the other is in the mood of servant. So then, so that is one main branch of Baladeva. The other main branch then is from Baladeva to Sankarshan in as Mahashankarshan in Dwarka, and then as Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu is the Supreme Lord, but he is also the servant. So because he is the same as Krishna, as Vishnu, he is Krishna, but he's in this mood of servant, therefore he's called Advaita, because he's one. He is the Supreme Lord. The same time is because he himself is very nicely following the codes of behavior, devotional and social codes of behavior that are perfect for human life, therefore he's called Acharya. In this way he has his name, Advaita Acharya. Because he's the Supreme Lord, but he has come showing how to be a perfect servant of the Supreme Lord. So he always has a very nice relationship with Nityananda. Because Nityananda is actually the source of his existence. But Nityananda is taking the mood of the younger and the avadhut. And Advaita Acharya is taking the mood of the older and be very nicely, the Acharya, following everything very nicely. So then they have a very nice relationship. They like to bother each other in this, joke with each other. So then, one time he had invited Lord Chaitanya to come to his house for lunch. And Nityananda Prabhu came with him. And Advaita Acharya was there. But they came to his house? No, I think they were in another situation. Because I think they were sitting together. And then Advaita Acharya is complaining that according to the Dharma, a grihastha shouldn't be sitting next to someone that he has no idea who they are. Right? It means we may be sitting down at Prashad at the festival. We have not personally met the devotee sitting next to us, but we know they're a devotee. We can see by symptoms they're wearing tilak, they're wearing neck beads, they're properly sitting, eating. So we understand this is a fit person to sit next to. Right? We're not going to lose our reputation or anything by this. We're not going to be, our honoring of Prashad is not going to be disturbed because they're going to be eating with their left hand or yelling and screaming and grabbing things and putting things on our plate or taking things off our plate or all these different things. One shouldn't sit next to such a person. So then Advaita Acharya is sitting down next to Nityananda Prabhu, and then he's thinking, who is this person? Because he's an avadhut, he may do anything, you know. Sometimes he's doing one thing, another time he's doing another thing. So as a grihastha, and not only as a grihastha, we are a brahminical community. Not only that, we are, you know, one of these senior, the elders in the community, the brahminical community of Shantipur and Nadia district. So then Nadia, he's very famous. So now, if it is known by others that we've sat down next to this avadhut, what will happen to my reputation? He's explaining all this to Lord Chaitanya, right? And so then Nityananda, they're joking and laughing, and like this way they're enjoying their association. So a very nice example is shown that the honoring of Prashad, Bhunkte Bho Jayate, is a very essential point in the process of devotional service. And that is a very happy time. Just like kirtan is very happy and devotees come together and they laugh and they joke and they dance and they have fun. Same with prasadam. Means when we are chanting and dancing and having a nice time in kirtan, we still are very respectful to the holy name and the devotees. We don't do something we shouldn't do. The same way with prasadam, we're careful, we don't do things we shouldn't do. But at the same time, we're a very nice time, we're sitting with devotees and speaking light conversation and joking and glorifying the qualities of the prasad, and all these different things are going on. So all that is happening. So this is a very nice example that we show how Lord Advaita Acharya and Lord Nityananda, then they are showing this example and enjoying each other's company. Then, so many times Advaita Acharya invited Lord Chaitanya to his house. Then another time Lord Nityananda came. Advaita is serving him very nicely. And he's thinking how to get the blessings of Nityananda. Because he worships Nityananda. So then, one time he's making so many comments that then Nityananda Prabhu gets upset and takes some rice off his place and throws it at Lord Advaita Acharya. Then when it touches Advaita Acharya's body, he starts dancing in ecstasy. He's very happy. Now he's been blessed by Nityananda Prabhu. Then many of these pastimes of the Lord and Nityananda and others coming to the house, his Advaita Acharya's house, especially in Puri, I think the one time in Puri, after Lord Chaitanya gone to Puri, then Advaita Acharya and the others would come for the 4 months of the rainy season. And they would all take pleasure in inviting Lord Chaitanya over to their house to eat. But then one time, Advaita Acharya and his wife were thinking that every time we enjoyed and bring Lord Chaitanya, we cook all these nice things for him, and we want him to enjoy these very nicely. But whenever he comes, because he's with so many others, they also come with him. Right? As soon as they know Lord Chaitanya is going to Advaita Charya's house, or wherever he's going, they always come with him, because they can't live without his association. So Nityananda Prabhu comes, or Swarup Damodar, or so many others come. And in this way, then, are fully being able to just serve Lord Chaitanya, then we're not getting that full taste like that. Because the conversation is always distracted. Nityananda Prabhu is there, and then Advaita and him are joking and laughing and all this. So then, Lord Chaitanya wants, understanding this desire of Advaita Acharya and his wife, then there he created a huge rainstorm. And this storm was raining very, very heavy. No one would go out into the street. It was so heavy. So at that moment, then Lord Chaitanya took the advantage and left the Gambira and went out to Advaita Acharya's house. And when he got to Advaita Acharya's house, Advaita Acharya is very surprised. Why you're here? It is raining so much, how you come? And Lord Chaitanya says, don't worry about that. Just start cooking something. Right? So then Advaita Acharya and his wife very happily went into the kitchen. And they cooked very nicely, so many preparations. And then afterwards, then they came and they started serving Lord Chaitanya. And he ate everything, didn't leave one bit. Every preparation, how much they cooked, everything he ate. And as soon as he finished eating everything, he was satisfied, the rain stopped. Like that. And then this way, he once fulfilled this desire of Advaita Acharya's. Then we see Advaita Acharya's example in the kitchen. It's very, very nice. It's explained. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami explains that Advaita Acharya, when he would cook, then as he would cook, he would clean. Means he has cut one vegetable, what parts he portions he wants, they'll be washed and put into the pot for cooking. And then all the peels and other things, they'll immediately be cleaned up and the counter will be cleaned. When he finishes cooking a preparation in one pot, he puts the next pot on, the pot that's now finished cooking, he cleans it. So in this way, the utensils, as soon as they're used, they're clean. The pots, as soon as they're used, they're clean. The counters, the floor, everything. As soon as you finish in a place, it's cleaned. And when the cooking was finished, when the last preparation is finished, the kitchen is clean. Right? So the last preparation, all that's left is one pot, one spoon, that's it. Everything, the whole kitchen is clean. So that Prabhupada points out that this is first class. And we also see in Prabhupada's example, when he would cook, he would follow the same principle. As he would cook, he would be cleaning. That way at the end, you don't have this monstrous pile of, you know, or let's say not mine, ghastly pile of dirty dishes and everything like that, and everything a mess, you know, like that. So Advaita Acharya, you know, it set the perfect example very nicely. All the stories that come to mind. Does anyone have any other stories or questions or comments? Yes.
Question, you mentioned that Chair Hare Krishna, we take the benefit of understanding all the Vedas. What does that actually mean?
What does that mean? What does it mean by chanting do we get the benefit of understanding all the Vedas? Means, in other words, one who has understood that the essential point is to chant has actually understood the Vedas. And by always having faith in Guru and Krishna, then all the imports of the Vedas will be revealed. So by that chanting, that commitment to the chanting, that he knows that this is the most important of all the Vedic sacrifices and activities, then he actually realizes what the purpose of all the Vedic activities are. Because whatever activities we do, they all have their purpose to help us remember Krishna or to help us not forget Krishna. Every rule is directly connected to this point. So one who understands that the chanting is the most essential, because he understands this is non-different from the Lord. So he gets that, he has that benefit. He's performing that activity that will purify him, and will attach him to Krishna. See, some activities, they will purify you. Some activities will attach you to Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna will do both. Yes. No, we're chanting, but here it's talking about someone who exclusively takes chanting as their occupation. Chanting and is their main. They don't necessarily study all the different recessions of the Vedas and know very fine details of how to perform this Shrauta and that, the different things that they don't know. All he knows is that the holy name is the essence of everything. So one who knows this is actually the best of all the Brahmins and has the greatest realization. So that's mentioned in the Dharma Shastra. Yeah. So as we understand this, then that the realization of the Vedic knowledge also becomes revealed. Like that. It comes together. Yes.
There's a story of Maharaj about I don't know one to tell, but when the Lord, when Lord Daniel appeared, he called for a Veda for someone. Do you know that story?
No. Fortunately, I wasn't sure if I was giving class today or not, so I didn't dig out the books. You know?
Nara, that was his nickname. Mahaprabhu's nickname for the Lord Vishal. That was the way he sang before.
Oh, I see. Lord Vishal. He used to call for him.
Nara. Ball.
There's also, I think, at the time when Lord Chaitanya appeared, then Haridas Thakur and Advaitacharya were dancing in ecstasy because they knew that Lord Chaitanya had appeared. Everyone else just thought, well, it's a full moon eclipse, so they were all busying themselves and, you know, chanting in the Ganga. But they were all dancing in that, and everyone was wondering what's happened with these two, you know. So he knew that the Lord had come.
But could you tell a story about when Veda wanted to be chastised by the Lord?
So Lord Chaitanya was always very respectful to Advaitacharya. He's senior, older gentleman, and according to the Shastras, one must always respect someone elder. Not only that, one should always respect someone who knows the Shastras, practices them. More than that, someone who understands their meaning. More than that, someone who practices. More than that, someone who realizes their purpose. So Advaita has all these. And, yeah. So then, he was always very respectful. But then Advaitacharya was seeing that Lord Chaitanya is chastising so many other people, so many other devotees, but never him. He's always just very, very nice with him. You know, Lord Chaitanya chastised his own mother because she thought something bad about Advaitacharya. And said that you have to beg forgiveness from Advaitacharya. But never, he's not said anything about Advaitacharya. So he's thinking, I'm missing out. You know, he's so nice and kind to everyone else. He cares for them. He's just respectful. Because it's said in the Shastra, you only chastise someone who is a dependent, or someone who is very close, that you feel that you have the natural right to say something, and they will accept that and follow it. So he just sees he's only dealing formally with me, so the intimacy is not very great. But so many other devotees, he's showing his mercy and intimacy by chastising them. He's taking that position. So then, you know, one day he decided, okay, today we're going to get Lord Chaitanya to chastise us. So when Lord Chaitanya came, then he immediately started saying all kinds of Mayavad philosophy. And Lord Chaitanya then couldn't tolerate, so then he started chastising Advaitacharya. And then Advaitacharya was very, very happy. Everyone else thought Advaitacharya would be unhappy, but he was very, very happy. Because now Lord Chaitanya has chastised. So he's shown he actually does have affection for me. It's not just respect, but he actually has affection. all we can say on this point. Really, he even started to beat him. That's even more.
He called me here, his loud shout, he called me out resting peacefully on Ananda Day, had a nice time. Only when he's calling, I come here to help the bhaktas. I come here now, he's preaching my bhakti.
You know more stories? Yes. So you should speak here. Here, Krishna, give him the mic.
When Advaitacharya knew of the event of Mahaprabhu was actually at his because it said due to his loud calling and worshipping that he couldn't do, although he's Mahavishnu. He said, I can't save these people. He said, but I'll invoke the Lord to come. So it was a very great devotion. He worshipped the Lord
Krishna
with pussy leaves and Ganges water. And he promised the devotees, don't worry, your troubles will soon be over. If the Lord doesn't come, personally I'll take my chakra and he'll kill everyone. So anyway, you're gonna win. So you know when Mahaprabhu.
Haribo.
One time he was in Chandigarh. He was worshipping the Ganges, and he put the clouds in water. They started floating upstream, and he thought that's very strange. So he followed them, and he came to Nanadev. Another sati was taking a bath. And she was pregnant, and the flowers came and stuck to her belly. And she pushed them away, and they came back again. She said, what is something more suspicious happening? She got out of the water. Well, the Acharya saw that, and he thought, this must be, maybe it's the Lord, and now he's come. So he paid his obeisances as immediately. She had a miscarriage. So this happened 8 times, like, Krishna's appearance. Seven times. So after, she was really disturbed, and she told Jagannath Mishra about that incident. She said, and every time it happens, and the Advaitacharya comes, and she says, our lineage will be finished. You know, have another offspring, please, you know, please speak to him and tell him what to do. So Jagannath Mishra spoke to Advaitacharya, and he said, don't worry. He said, then the same thing happened again with the flowers, and then he said, don't worry, next time you're going to have a very wonderful son, which would be just like Narayan. So that happened, and when she was, that time she was pregnant, the way the chariot came, when he saw it, and she became very effulgent, Mother Sachi, and the way the chariot came with articles for worshipping, and he smeared her belly with chandan. He started offering aunties to her belly, and so circumambulated her, and she was saying, Chari, what are you doing? And she couldn't understand what was going on. He took his position, she was so embarrassed. So he knew that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to appear. So then he made a toll here in Navadip, just so he could be around. Otherwise he was teaching in Chandipur, so he made a school here also, and a house here so he could be around and see and enjoying the fun. He had a very illustrious son, Lingachupananda. one Brahmin came to the house of Vidya Sharan, and he said, who is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guru? Then he thought for the moment, he didn't know who this person was, and he didn't know how to answer properly, so he said, why don't you stay and take something to eat, and we'll discuss later. He says, no, you first tell me. So he said this, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called Guru. Then his little son there, 5 years old boy, he came running and crying, screaming, Father, how can you say that? Lord Chaitanya is a guru, he's a guru of the whole universe, what are you saying? And he went to stand with all his hair set on end, and he embraced his son, and you actually know everything. Wonderful standing there. And he's a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, marvelous to sit him on his lap.
And here, Jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki
Jai.
Adraitacharya Prabhu Ki
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktabrinda Ki
Jai.
Shainitai Gaur Premanandi
Ki Jai.